Let me just start by saying that I think no other country in Asia sits on such a geostrategic fault line and a beneficial fault line than Pakistan. We are at the center of South Asia, we are at the center of Central Asia, and we are at the center of West Asia. And what I'm asking you to look at now is a small part of the economic dimensions of this region. And the main part of that, which we have unfortunately forgotten in all the years that we have supported various groups in Kashmir, groups in Afghanistan, and fought other people's wars, we have forgotten the issue of connectivity and communication. And what we could have done to this country economically if we had spent more time in building links to our neighbors and to the outside world. So we could, but we have delayed indefinitely the connectivity in the region for trade, energy supplies, and good neighborliness, which was our due. Now, last month, many of you will not have noticed, but a very important geostrategic signal was given by our neighbors when the Chabahar port in Iran was opened, and for the first time, Afghan exports were exiting through a road that has been built by India, Iran, Russia, and with the support of the Central Asian states. And this road comes up from the Gulf along the Afghan-Iranian border and enters Afghanistan in Zaranj, which is the capital of Nimroz province. And then it goes to Dil-e-Ram. Now, what Dil-e-Ram is a transport hub that connects to the Kandahar-Herat highway. And what this road and communication has done is to cut the journey to the Gulf through Iran considerably. Because you do not, I mean, at the moment you have to go through Herat, which is another 200 kilometers up in the north. You bypass Herat and you enter into southeastern Afghanistan almost directly from Iran. This road, 200 kilometer road, has been built by all these various countries. And now Chabahar, of course, is the first port which breaks the monopoly of Karachi. As Karachi's control over trade, export, import into Afghanistan, which has been the dominant port for the Afghans, has been broken. And the Afghans are quite enthusiastic about exporting through Iran, and a great deal of exports have gone through Iran already. And so what is very clear is that the Afghans, and of course their neighbors, minus Pakistan, have been very upfront about connectivity and have seen the importance of connectivity. And in the north, the northern warlords in northern Afghanistan have also connected to Central Asia via railheads with Iran, Uzbekistan, and Turkmenistan. And there are plans and money is being raised to try and build railways that will crisscross northern and western Afghanistan and to take goods into the Central Asian republics. All this time, Gwadar still has to see substantial traffic from Central Asia and Africa. And I would posit to you that, in fact, it is not seeing any substantial trade benefits yet. Now, the reason is that, you know, unfortunately, the route that Gwadar takes is a war zone. The route through Afghanistan, remember, if you're importing, if you're sending goods to Gwadar from Central Asia, you have to cross the entire length of Afghanistan, then you have to enter Balochistan. All these areas are in some form or the other potential war zones, and obviously not safe for traffic and goods. And which is why right now the Chinese are building new highways in this part of the world. We are having to provide massive security, thousands of soldiers to protect these road builders. The real issue is that the last 20 years in particular since 9/11, when I think there were opportunities for much greater connectivity, we were very slow. And the real throw up is, are you going to promote peace in Afghanistan and promote connectivity around the region? Or are you going to support extremist groups around the region? So I think this balancing act has been in the negative so far. And I think what we are now faced with, thank goodness, is a much more positive attitude to making peace in Afghanistan and trying to enhance the role of these routes helping us. Remember that oil and gas from Iran and from Turkmenistan was deemed 20 years ago, it was deemed critical for Pakistan's survival and future. And yet we are still at the stage where there is no oil, no gas from either Iran or Turkmenistan. Chinese are building pipelines that go right across the whole of Russia and Central Asia to bring oil and gas to their homeland. And we are not able to do it with our neighbor. And this is the real energy crisis that we are faced with. It's not the question that we need cheap Saudi oil or some debt from the UAE to buy oil. We have it in our neighborhood, and we're not, unfortunately, we're not laying the groundwork for bringing that in. And if you look at the figures, after 9/11, the return of the refugees to Afghanistan, the legal and illegal trade between Pakistan and Afghanistan was something like $5 billion. Afghans were buying everything, from building materials, to steel, to cement, to cosmetics, to goods, to medicines. They had nothing in their country. But what we have seen since 9/11 has been how we have steadily been able to lose that market. The 5 billion legal and illegal I mean smuggling basically that has gone on. In 2010, that 5 billion had been reduced to 2.5 billion, half the amount. And last year, our total exports to Afghanistan were 1.4 billion. Now this shows a staggering loss of market for goods that frankly nobody else will buy. I mean, we make very simple toiletries, cosmetic goods, medicines, etc., which few other states will buy because they can afford better ones. But remember that all these refugees going back were used to these goods. They were buying these goods when they were refugees in Pakistan. They knew these goods. This was a captive market that we lost completely. Because of wrong policies. So the figures are, speak for themselves. And during that time, Iran's exports to Afghanistan, the last 20 years, 18 years, Iran's exports to Afghanistan have risen to nearly $3 billion, out of which about $1 billion of that are Indian exports to India. So the fact is that if Pakistan has declined, certainly the slack has been taken up. It's also been taken up by the Central Asian states. If you travel in northern Afghanistan, it's full of Central Asian goods and Chinese goods, of course, which are coming through via Central Asia. The other big issue is this whole question of building walls. I don't think you can promote trade and good neighborliness by building walls. The Indians have proved that on our border, on our eastern border. I think there were political answers and military answers and police answers for curbing the terrorism that we were suffering from over the last 10, 15 years. I don't think a wall is the solution. And we will see that it is very difficult to do connectivity through a wall. And President Trump is finding that as a problem too. And I think down the road, as peace is established and more trade and more activity takes place, we'll find that this wall has become a millstone round our neck. that it is not something that is promoting peace and goodwill between Pakistan and Afghanistan. And then there's the potential issue of minerals. Both the US and the Soviets carried out extensive geological surveys of the mineral wealth in Afghanistan. It is colossal. Afghanistan has perhaps every known mineral. We've seen already the Chinese have taken contracts in Logar, in Mezanet, for copper and oil concessions. The Soviets, while they were there, were extracting gas and oil from northern Afghanistan in the 1980s. But who is going to benefit from this? Well, certainly the Americans can't, because there is no exit point for the America. Afghanistan, these minerals are landlocked. One of the biggest sources of where these minerals would benefit are obviously Afghanistan's neighbors. And that includes primarily China, which is almost certain in the next few years to build a road linking the China with Afghanistan directly through the Wakhan corridor. And the Chinese are in the best position to, they need these minerals. They want to buy these minerals. Pakistan can also take enormous advantage of this, of exploration and this trade, although Pakistan has little use for these minerals because it is not able to, it doesn't have those kinds of industries. But nevertheless, this is something that is coming up very soon, and we should be aware that other states are going to try and grab those minerals. Perhaps India, perhaps Iran, perhaps even the United States through various surrogates in the region. But this mineral wealth should be used to enhance the wealth of the region. So I will end here and just stress upon the fact that I think our foreign policy has unfortunately not taken up the issue of connectivity and building links in the region sufficiently enough. Thank you very much.